chance. This is one out of 1,000 futures where Michael Porter Jr. could wind up as one of, if not the best player of all time. What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Locked On Nuggets podcast, part of the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Adam Mattis, from DNVR, where you can subscribe for $5 a month, get access to all of our premium content. I'm joined today, one of my favorite guests, one of my favorite podcasters, tweeters, and people, certainly one of my favorite beards. You know him as Fast Break Breakfast. It's Keith Parrish. Keith, what's going on?
Hey, Adam. Nothing's going on. Just watching basketball, you know, on a Monday night.
That sounds lovely. Sounds very, very, very pleasant. It's been weird. I've watched less basketball outside of the Nuggets this year than I think any year before.
Why is that? Is that your new DNVR post or?
Yeah, absolutely. I've done less of everything, I think, than, you know, this year because of launching the new site. But the set, I think the basketball part is, it's been sad. I miss it. I miss other teams, especially teams like the Memphis Grizzlies who are super fun.
The Memphis Grizzlies, I used to argue with people and say, no, you're wrong. They are a league pass darling. You have to be a connoisseur of a true basketball. And we've discovered on our podcast, Fast Break Breakfast, we were very introspective. And we have since realized that, no, we had been in an abusive relationship.
And now that you're actually having fun?
Yeah, that basketball was not enjoyable at all. Like, what is happening in the last 25 games with this Memphis Grizzlies team? Like, oh, this is very fun. This is way more fun. Like, this is more fun than when the Grizzlies were good. Like, this is, like, kind of crazy fun. So, yeah, it's you are missing if you haven't been watching.
Well, I actually want to talk about that because you mentioned that this was more fun than when they were winning. And I think the most fun Nugget season I've had of the last five was that 2016-17 season. I believe that was the one where it was just like pure joy. And I remember the next year, Zach Lowe had them. So this would have been last year, I think. Zach Lowe had them like 20th on the league pass rankings. And I was like, what? You're crazy. They're fun. Well, and then they weren't anymore. Like,
I mean, I think I'm joking somewhat. I mean, the winning 55 games, I think, was more fun. But on, I guess maybe I'm not joking when I think of like a playoff series against the Thunder when the games were all 82-78.
Right.
And it was just like, you know, this is kind of fun in its own way. It's fun being good.
Yeah.
But if you're not going to be, say, one of the best 8 teams in the NBA, you might as well be this exciting brand of basketball the current Grizzlies are playing, where they're playing at a fast pace. They have more highlight plays. Without exaggeration, they have more highlight plays from this one season than they do in their entire time in Memphis. Like, not remotely joking. Like, they were always so bad at fast breaks. Like, Mike Conley, one of the jokes that we made when he was going to the Jazz, we were like, Mike Conley's never thrown an alley-oop. I'm not sure what he's going to do with the pick and roll with Gobert. And it's been rough. Like, it's been rough because he's never really done alley-oops. But no, the Grizzlies now, they fly all over the court and they dunk and their point guard tries to humiliate the opponent. And it's pretty awesome.
How much of it is Ja? I mean, because from my outsider, I'm like, I really like Jaren Jackson Jr., but I don't think he's fun. Is it just Ja that is fun?
Jaren Jackson Jr. is like it's like he's supposed to be fun, but he's not fun. Like, he's not cool. I think he wants to be cool, but he, like, at least on court, he's kind of goofy and he does cool things, but his shot looks ridiculous.
Yeah. It never looks like it's going in.
And it goes in. He makes it in incredible rate. He's making over 3 threes per game for the past, again, like the past 25 games. He's made 3 threes per game. He shoots over 40% on 3-pointers, but it's a weird shot put. Like, is it all Ja? That's the question. I think a lot of us Grizzlies podcasters and writers, we're trying to figure out, like, how much of it is Ja Morant? How much of it is the new coaching staff that said, hey, we're going to play fast pace and space. We're going to spread it out. And we were like, yeah, sure, buddy. Like, we've heard that before. This team is always last in pace or bottom 5 in pace. This team is always like last in field goal percentage, last in points. And this year, like, oh, they're actually 3rd in pace. They have the sixth best offensive rating over the last 2 months. You're like, that's just weird. They are, I think they're second in field goal percentage behind the Jazz over the last 2 months. And it's just like, I don't know how this team is can now make three-pointers, can now make all their shots. They're one of the top they're the top assist team in the NBA. They're good at shooting free throws. It's like all this weird stuff where it's like, how did this all happen with this collection of talent? With this, like, we didn't think this system would work. Like, we have Solomon Hill and Jay Crowder and like Dylan Brooks, and we didn't think that we thought the team was bereft of talent. And it's like, I didn't think playing up, you know, up pace or, you know, up tempo fast would work, but it has worked. And I don't know if it's just a weird extended hot stretch, if the coaching staff is indeed a wizard, because Taylor Jenkins was on the Bucks last year, and the Grizzlies' offensive identity almost exactly mirrors the Bucks from last year as far as pace.
That's
pace, offensive rating, shot selection. You're like, how did that work? I mean, obviously the Bucks won 60 games last year because they also have a good defense. But right now the Grizzlies' offensive numbers are almost a mirror image. Again, it's every time I speak, it's like over the last, it's since December 9th. Yeah. Which is this date for Grizzlies fans.
Oh, I love it. Yes, what is the date? Because Denver used to have one, December 15th, right? And it was like it became a gospel thing.
So December 9th, what happened was Ja Morant, a couple weeks before then, had gotten injured in a game against the Pacers. Mm. And so he missed like five games. During that time, one man known as D'Anthony Melton was given the opportunity to play basketball. Mm. And he did not relinquish his opportunity. He has not given his minutes back. So December 9 is when Ja Morant returned from injury and D'Anthony Melton was a part of the rotation. So since those two guys have been part of the rotation, the Grizzlies are 16-8 and they're good. Like, they're kind of legit good. They've been smashed a couple times. I mean, the Grizzlies, they were ahead in the fourth quarter, I think, of 18 of their last 20 games up until the Boston game or something. They blew, like, you know, five of those games, they blew those leads. The only games they didn't have a fourth quarter lead were they got crushed by the Spurs and the game at Denver against the Nuggets, where the Grizzlies, I thought, for me, I thought it was one of the best games the young Grizzlies had played, but the Denver seemed to play great that game. And that was a full-strength Denver squad. And the Grizzlies kind of kept it close in the fourth quarter, but I was, like, really encouraged after that loss. Like, Denver's playing really well right now, because I watch a lot of Nuggets games, as you know. And I was proud of how the young Grizzlies had hung with what I thought was a really good Denver team. And so, like, again, all that to say, December 9th is our day. The last 24 games, the Grizzlies are pretty good. And I'm feeling good about the matchup on Tuesday night.
I want to preview the game later on. I want to talk just about the Grizzlies, but it's funny because you mentioned that game, and I just pulled up the box score because this is how my brain works, Keith. I have no recollection of that game. It was a month ago.
Yeah, it was a while ago. Yeah.
Well, it was only a month. I mean, like, I actually don't remember any piece of it, so I pulled up the box score, and now I know. It's the one where Plumlee started.
Oh, and can I tell you a play you'll remember from it?
Okay.
There was Jamal Murray threw a bounce pass, like a wraparound bounce pass, to Jokic, who just batted it with one hand and then batted it in the goal.
Like, I do know that one. Yeah,
he redirected the ball into the goal without touching the basketball. So that was
he does that one from time to time. But I do know the specific one. He was also a plus 23 in that game, so I'm guessing he was all right. 31, 10, and 10. So he must have had it. He must have been decent. This team is a lot of fun. Ja Morant, I'm always skeptical of point guards, I guess I should say. I always, like, you have to really prove it. I think it's that I feel like I'm better at analyzing bigs because I was a big, and there's just, like, certain things I can, like, very easily, effortlessly sort of identify with them. But in guards, certain, like, traits and characteristics can piss me off to where I feel like I'm probably not evaluating them fairly because I'm just so annoyed. Like, as a big, when you play basketball, are you a wing? Are you a point? Were you a big guy? What did you play?
I was more of a big.
Okay. So
just I was a wing to big.
Okay, wing to big. Because, see, one of my pet peeves is guys who can't throw entry passes, because when you're a big,
right,
if you can't do that, it's just like, well, it's maddening. And I'm not saying Ja does this, but with Ja, he is so fun. He's so fast and so athletic. I can't tell like if I'm really high on him or if he's just like super fun right now. But I'll let you kind of give me what's your honest assessment of him at this point and like his what you expect his trajectory to be as a player?
Well, as far as it relates to throwing entry passes, I don't know if he's not good at throwing entry passes or the team does not emphasize ever having anyone post up.
Big like Val?
Jonas Valanciunas has been really good this season, but there's a lot of times where the team is kind of losing, they get real shaky. The leads start evaporating. The offense kind of falls apart. And just on Sunday, they were playing the Suns. The Suns have no good interior defender because Aaron Baines is injured. And so, like, Jonas Valanciunas basically hasn't missed a shot against the Suns all season, and they're just not throwing him the ball. Like, they're switching. Devin Booker's guarding Jonas Valanciunas, and it's like, just throw him get the big guy. So they do struggle there. So, like, as far as that evaluation, I don't know if that's just a team-wide thing where they don't ever try to post up anybody. Mm-hmm. As far as on a bigger sense, I think Ja Morant is spectacular and also incredibly good at basketball. The like, it's not just the highlight plays. This guy, he shoots almost 50% from the field. One of the top fourth quarter scorers in the NBA, and he has done this in close games in fourth quarters where he just takes it over, and he looks like a mixture of kind of like Isaiah Thomas or maybe Kevin Johnson. And so it's just like he has this just a control and a swagger, and he's hit so many big shots. He's made so many big clutch plays.
His swagger is undeniable. He's like first team all swagger from the rookies.
They were playing the Rockets, and I mean, it made like NBA TV and SportsCenter and such, but like the Rockets were kind of playing a zone and like begging him to shoot. And he hits a 3-pointer with no one guarding him. He just starts yelling, you know, you better tell that MFer about me, like to James Harden. and then that game, he goes 10 for 11 from the field. Like he shoots 90%. He has 25 points. Like, I can't remember what it was, but it was like, He just does this over and over and over. He did have a really bad game. The Celtics obliterated the Grizzlies recently. But besides that, no, I mean, the guy is fantastic. We joke, again, on Fast Break Breakfast, people were like, hey, Ja Morant might be better than Mike Conley. We're like, whoa, slow down.
Right.
Like, you mean like 33-year-old Mike Conley? Easy. And like the first few weeks of the season, it was like, no. If you need to win a basketball game, if you need to win a playoff series, you want Mike Conley today over Ja Morant. And then after a couple more weeks, we were like, that's actually ridiculous. Ja Morant is way better than present-day Mike Conley. And then after a couple more weeks, it was like, Ja Morant's better than Mike Conley ever was. And so that's like,
wow, you're already there, huh?
That's where the argument is now. And, wow. and it's not shocking. It's not shocking at all. When you watch enough games, we were like, he just does things. Like Mike Conley, even if he wanted to, couldn't have averaged 18-8 in a season on 49% shooting. Like, that's not a thing that Mike Conley could do. Yes, Mike Conley was good at a lot of other stuff. He's a good defender. And all that was like, again, that was like year 8, year 9 Mike Conley, where like he figured it all out. Like Ja Morant, this is a 20-year-old who is leading this team two wins and doing it in such a spectacular style and doing it in such an efficient offensive style where I'm kind of, I don't know, mouth agog a lot. Like, is this guy going to be an all-star for the next 7 years? Like, this seems really cool. So I'm a completely won over, a firm disciple of Ja, and thinking that he is, yes, actually very, very good. It's not just flash. There's a lot of substance to what he's doing.
Let's play a little trivia here. Mm-hmm. Who is averaging more points per game, Jamal Murray or Ja Morant?
I would say Murray's like 17.5 and Ja Morant's like 17.9 maybe.
So they're actually both 17.6. Which I find to be so crazy. So technically Jamal Murray has one more point on the season, 704 to 703. They both played 40 games. How wild is that? I find that really crazy.
Who shoots 3-pointers at a better clip?
Isn't this this is your trivia. Who would you guess?
Well, I know percentage-wise, Ja Morant's way higher.
Yeah, way higher. He only takes about half as many, but he is at 39%, which is, first of all, I kind of like that because I don't – maybe he'll add the 3-point shot to his game, you know, at volume. But I like when guys have a good percentage and kind of know what their shots are. And then, of course, his overall, his 2-point field goal percentage is at 50, Jamal at 49. you go down the list, seven assists to 4.5, Ja Morant's in Ja Morant's favor. So
yeah.
It's kind of wild. This is one of my things I was concerned about with Murray this year was, you know, he got outplayed by Trae Young when they matched up earlier in the year. Ja Morant now looks like a player that's at least on his level, if not, you know, surpassing him or whatever. And it's just one of those things where it's like, man, he was already like maybe the 10th best, but now that seems like these young guys are starting to come in that are also really, really good. And you just start to think, is Jamal going to move up that list or is he going to kind of stay there as new guys sort of come in and surpass him? What do you think about where
that's a great question. It's like, you know, there was a few games early in the year where I was really impressed by Jamal Murray. I can't remember the specifics anymore, but it seemed like maybe, okay, he's going to take a leap. I felt like yeah. in the playoffs, it seemed to be like it was all Jokic and Murray. And that was all the Nuggets had. Yeah. On my memory, I felt like we were the Nuggets were depending on Jamal Murray to do a lot, and so I kind of thought maybe he would take that next step. But then I remember someone showing me a stat recently that his Jamal Murray's statistics were exactly the same as last year's, creepily, like it was weird.
Yeah. Like, there was down one, to the 100th
percentile. Yeah,
it's probably changed. I mean, he's been out for several games. He'll be out tomorrow, but there was. So I don't know if this is the most recent one, but there was one where it was like 10 of 15 categories were identical, not point yeah. one off, but identical. And it's just like, wow, this is weird. Maybe this is who he is. Like, just he's kind of reached himself. And
I don't know. I mean, like Jamal Murray's a guy where you can imagine him sharing a backcourt theoretically with like another person who's considered a point guard, like a Kyle Lowry and Jamal Murray. You're like that backcourt in my mind. That kind of makes sense because I can see Jamal Murray like playing off ball, or like a Drew Holiday, a guy who's like a combo guard.
Yeah.
But Ja Morant he's a one. I mean, he is ball in the hand and he's going to set people up. And I think we're going to see his assists go up in his career, also with the scoring going up as he figures more and more stuff out. So I think they're very different there. But I do, unfortunately for Nuggets fans, I think out of the box, or at least after 10 or 15 games, Ja Morant has probably surpassed Jamal Murray in the hierarchy of point guards.
Oof. I'm not even disagreeing with you. That's just like you said, he's so new. So it happened quick. He's also only playing 30 minutes per game. So when you talk about those numbers, I mean, he's on two fewer minutes, which over time adds up. That's really, really interesting. Is this a safe space?
Yeah, this is no, definitely.
Oh, this is a safe space. Okay, it's definitely not.
Like, you and me, Adam, it's the same.
Yeah, if I say what I'm about to say, you were it's going to get clipped and brought and used against me in the court of public opinion. But I tested this out at the arena the other day amongst my writer friends, and they, to my surprise, did not think it was crazy. I'm not saying this is going to happen. I'm saying it is within the realm of possibility. I 100% believe this. This is one out of 1,000 futures where Michael Porter Jr. can wind up as one of, if not the best player of all time. Now, this is like my hottest take I've ever had in my life. Now, I'm not saying that it's going to happen. In fact, I'm almost certain it is not.
But right.
The point I'm raising is watch this guy now for like, I don't know, we're only at 500 minutes or something. He's a 6'10", just scoring machine with like one of the most beautiful shots I've ever seen. That's and like a super athlete. That alone just makes me really, really excited. And again, the scope of possibility for him goes everywhere, in my opinion, to like MVP all the way down to like plays 10 more games and then retires. So it's like the widest net ever possible. But nonetheless, I am already ready to declare this guy the truth. Like his talent is, you know, unique. Have you gotten a chance to really dig into him at all? And if so, what are your thoughts?
I don't know if I've had a chance to dig in, but I'm pretty sure I watched all of his maybe three best games.
Okay.
Like I was definitely watching whatever the game was. It against the Pacers? What was the game?
Yeah, that was his best game, the Pacers.
Yeah, I like watched every one of his plays against the Pacers and was losing my mind. I was like, what is happening? This guy is crazy. And there's something about the way all his shots, the way they entered the rim.
Yep.
Just so perfectly, so delicately, just ripping through the net. I was like, those are gorgeous.
No rattlers. I've never seen him shoot a rattler.
Right. So I've seen that, and then I do, you know, then other times I tune in and he's not like playing very much. And I'm like, I missed maybe the last Nuggets game and I don't know the storyline of why he's not playing a lot, but I'm excited. I like, you have this, a 1 in 1,000 chance of an MVP. We got Michael Porter Jr. coming in. And if we're lucky on Tuesday night, maybe just some Josh Jackson from the Grizzlies. That Josh Jackson, Michael Porter Jr. It's just guys whose futures are totally unwritten.
Unwritten. It could be anything they want to be. I was a big Josh Jackson fan. This is who we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
For a second. I'm looking at the stats here over the last 15 games and don't see him. So I'm like, wait a second. Am I hearing this right?
Oh, no. Well, I mean, you know, he got called up today.
Oh, he did?
He got called up today.
How was he doing with the hustle?
He was doing the hustle. I hear the hustle are the best team in the G League. And he was crushing it. Apparently he showed up to all of his meetings on time, but one. And they've decided. I'm not
joking.
That's
really good. That's really good.
And they've decided that he's now allowed to join the varsity squad. So that's the news in Grizzlies world.
I'm laughing and I feel terrible for laughing. I'm not gonna lie. I saw something in Josh Jackson. Or at least I think I did. Like where there was like this player where I was like, I kind of like him, and I heard the stories, and I was like, we'll see how he breaks. Well, he broke poorly. I mean, he hasn't had a great start to his career.
I will say I'm excited. I mean, again, I don't know how much of this Grizzlies success so far that we credit to just John Morant's arrival and Jaren Jackson Jr. taking a step and some of the other guys taking a step, or how much of it is the coaching staff, and maybe they are brilliant because they have turned, like, I don't know if it was internal improvement or if the coaching staff helped them, but Dylan Brooks is basically like last year's Buddy Hield now. Mm. Like Dylan Brooks is now incredible. So maybe Josh Jackson will also show up and they'll be able to get him in the system, and we'll have another, the Grizzlies will have another 6'7", 6'8" wing who's flying up and down the court who can maybe, show some big improvements.
Can I tell you something though? I'm buying this idea. I'm not necessarily buying it with Josh Jackson, but I am buying this idea of like, there's certain cultures that you can establish, and it takes the right coach, the right front office, the right environment, the right players. But once you establish it, it becomes easier for guys to slot in and be like, oh, this is how things are done here. Okay, either get with it or get out. So I have no idea if it's going to work with Josh Jackson, but if you do have a culture there of players that are like there for the right reasons, the odds of him being there for the right reasons go up exponentially. I think that happened in Denver.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why they got so many of these guys. No, but Michael Porter Jr. I'm excited about. I was thinking about this. The reason I arrived at this crazy take about MPJ, I was thinking about Zion, Doncic, and MPJ. And if you were to rank where you think those guys will wind up from best to worst, what would your order be?
Oh, I got MPJ comfortably last.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, I mean, I don't.
Even if you said like assuming full health, I would probably still have MPJ last.
Right. I think I would have Doncic first and Zion second, only because of just the playmaking.
Yeah.
Of Doncic, the ability to handle the ball and be like the. Just the whatever.
Yeah.
The heliocentric center of an offense of taking control of everything. And Zion is still more of unknown. Like it's been fun the last three games and preseason, but it's like how much is a guy who doesn't necessarily create his own shots or is able to do it off the dribble is dependent on maybe the flow of the game against a guy who handles the ball all the time. And right now I would lean Doncic for that reason.
I think so too, and I think all three of them have a really good chance of being fantastic players. Doncic, like his, we already see sort of what his floor is. It's ridiculous, and I think even with Zion, we kind of see his floor. It's only been three games or two games or whatever, but I'm like, oh yeah, okay, he's at worst great, and at best even better than that. But what the weird thing was is I did think that Michael Porter Jr., while in 1,000 possible futures, in 950 of them, he's probably worse than both guys. I do just have this feeling that. If he's a 6'10", sort of like Klay Thompson-esque shooter, with enough handle or whatever, like that, you don't really need all those other skills. That's just that's a skill and it works.
How is his defense? Like, is there a world where he's like an okay defender and he's going to be getting deflections
I don't know if I've gone on record with this, but I did this for Nikola Jokic 5 seasons ago when everybody was convinced he was an awful defender. I said he will be a good defender for a majority of his career. And yes. I think that's proven to be right. Like, he's bad at one thing, but he's great at just about everything else. I think MPJ is going to be a very good defender. He's a super athlete. He's so long, and you know, he's completely lost right now, and he's still a net positive. You know, overall, he blocks shots, he gets steals, he rebounds extremely well. So I think I don't think he's going to be a lockdown defender, but I think he can have a KD-esque sort of career where he just slowly gets better every year, and then once you're adequate and 6'10", that's half the battle.
Yeah. So. I like your optimism. I haven't seen a ton, but I've seen enough to be excited and be like, wow, this guy could be really awesome and could be like a definitely really cool running man for Jokic.
Yeah. Let's put it this way. I definitely think of this team now as Jokic and MPJ. And Murray is obviously a really good player. I hope he can enter that fold and surprise me. But like, those are the two guys to me that are the team, and everybody else is sort of pieces right now to fit around. So yeah, that's how quickly that's sort of moved on. All right, well, let's talk about this game now. The Grizzlies, as you have referenced, are just a ton of fun, but they've also won, I think, 9 of 11. So they're two losses back-to-back, New Orleans and Boston. Mm-hmm. Forgivable, but they have a lot of you know, really nice wins in there. The Clippers, the Timberwolves, the Spurs, the Houston.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming in with a lot of momentum, coming in looking really good. What are some of the keys you think in this specific matchup with the Nuggets?
I think the Grizzlies have a real good chance, I think, to beat the Nuggets because of the way that Denver is going to be shorthanded, and I think getting beat at home on national TV against the Pelicans, then getting crushed against the Celtics, they were kind of shaky, and they had two shaky wins where they turned the ball over a ton. They hadn't been turning the ball over that much. They almost lost to the Pistons, but they won at Detroit. They almost lost to the Suns, but hung on at home. And I think like those were kind of the shaky games where if I dream of the natural cycle of an NBA team, where I think they're actually going to maybe put together a couple of good games, because it's been a solid week without like where everyone was clicking on the same page. And so I think if they put that together and if they get up and down, I feel like Denver maybe is in a weird stretch. Like, what's the situation? Is this their first road game of a trip or anything?
No, it's one off. So they have a weird schedule where they were home for one game. Now they're on the road for one game. They come home for one game, then they go on the road for a game. The schedule makers are a bunch of haters. The Nuggets dropped three starters over a course where they played three consecutive back-to-backs. And it's just who made this schedule, man?
Yeah.
Like, who did this?
That's rough. So I feel like this young team, they've been focused so far that if I think they can maybe bounce back from these really sloppy last two games and come out, and if they get up and down, I feel like they have a chance to maybe frustrate one Nikola Jokic. Maybe he decides he does not want to run up and down the court.
He is frustratable.
Yeah,
he has been known to be frustrated.
I think that'll be a good shot because I think a key for Denver is going to be the second unit. What happens at the end of the first quarters? Because right now, since the Grizzlies have been good, since that magic December 9th date, the Grizzlies bring in a second unit of Tyus Jones, Brandon Clark, and De'Anthony Melton, and they normally run the opposition off the court. The five-man unit of those three plus Kyle Anderson, and they normally leave Jaren Jackson Jr. in, that five-man unit is, I think, like the 12th best five-man unit in the NBA as far as net rating, which is really weird because the Grizzlies are a sub-500 team. So, like, they've been obliterating second units. Second units don't know what hit them. And so that's been a continued success. And I feel like I don't know what the second unit's going to look like for the Nuggets on Tuesday. If it's
Jeremy Grant's going to be the center, I mean, because they're so shorthanded. So they're a bit built to run as well. You know, Michael Porter Jr. has been with that group. Malik Beasley's with that group, who's always the fastest player in terms of like when he's on the court, the tempo picks up. And then they got PJ Dozier, who I kind of like, but I have only seen like 4 games of him, so it's hard to tell.
Was Will Barton going to be guard? Or is it probably Gary Harris?
Gary Harris,
Harris
yeah, probably Gary Harris. Yeah. With the second, yeah, with the first unit, yeah, it'll definitely be Gary Harris. And Torrey Craig, they could try out on him as well. Torrey Craig might actually be a better matchup. The quicker players, I think Craig does a better job on.
Yeah.
The stronger players, you know, more Gary Harris.
Morant is prone to getting pushed around and a little prone to turnovers. He had a stretch where he was really taking care of the ball. He's since regressed. He had actually had a lot of trouble with my guy Javon Carter in the Phoenix game. Yeah.
Well, I mean, everybody has a hard time with Javon. Right. With the pit bull.
So maybe Gary Harris can get under his skin, and you know, for me as a Grizzlies fan, as long as Jaren Jackson Jr. doesn't pick up some early fouls, and as long as like I feel like the Grizzlies can get up and down in the first quarter, you got to get Jokic to maybe mentally decide he doesn't want to run, and the Grizzlies will have a good chance there.
I'll say this: Jokic has been really locked in these last few games when everybody's been out. I think Murray going down, Harris was gone for most of that. Plumlee, Millsap. I think he looked around and was like, okay, I better go into MVP mode, and he's kind of been that.
He tried to get thrown out, I think it was 3 games ago.
Well, Michael Porter Jr. was out that game. I think so that one was missing MPJ and all those guys, and I think at a certain point he's just like, whatever.
If Tony Brothers was there, he would have been ejected. I cannot believe he did not get ejected.
Yeah, they won 3 of 4, and the one that they missed, MPJ also sat out, and I think it was one of those ones where it's like, come on, man, Vlatko Chanchar is playing real minutes, like, whatever.
Yeah.
But no, I think it'll be an interesting one too. Denver, I've thought, was going to lose the last two, and they've won the last two. So I kind of think they're just so shorthanded. I kind of think they're super vulnerable again tomorrow night, but they keep surprising me. It does. Michael Porter Jr. has gone from, as you mentioned, in and out of the lineup for reasons nobody in Denver seems to understand, to now playing a bunch of minutes, and but also maybe the second most important player in tomorrow's game, maybe third behind Barton. So if he makes his shots, I think Denver has a great chance at it. If he doesn't, they probably won't. I did want to say one thing, though, when you were talking. I do love that fast unit for Memphis off the bench features Kyle Anderson. I just love that.
I am basically the president of the Kyle Anderson fan club for Grizzlies fans. I'm trying to get him involved in all the lineups. I'm upset he's not. But
every lineup needs that Swiss Army knife guy. It's like, oh, and he can do this thing for them. And Kyle Anderson is like Barton. He can just do everything.
Exactly. The key to the matchup actually might be if Jay Crowder sits out again. The Grizzlies are 4-0 when Kyle Anderson starts. So if Kyle Anderson gets the start again, Denver might be in trouble.
What a contrast we're going to get with Ja, Jokic, and Kyle Anderson all on the court. There's just going to be some real speed of play contrast. That'll be fun.
Man, it's got to be the league pass game of the night watching those guys go.
Is it the league pass?
It needs to be. That's all I'm saying. Unofficially, any game with Michael Porter Jr. and Jokic and Ja Morant, and maybe the NBA Grizzlies debut of one Josh Jackson.
I was really hoping you were going to run with my hottest take of all time. I was really hoping you were going to like.
I'm not.
It was almost like you were too embarrassed for the take to comment on.
I don't.
Which is actually more embarrassing.
He has a beautiful shot that when it goes in, it reminds me of Austin Day.
Ooh, there you go. Is he a poor man's Austin Day or a rich man's Austin
Day? I haven't seen enough of all the game. Every time I've seen Michael Porter like do awesome stuff, which is a lot, I'm still in like the disbelief mode. We're like, that doesn't seem believable what he's doing. Maybe it is. After a while, I'll decide, oh, no, this guy's actually just really awesome.
Is part of your disbelief the fact that he's at 21 has had 2 back surgeries? Is that part of the calculus?
And because I feel like in the offseason, I was like, hey, does Michael Porter Jr. actually play basketball? Because every clip I see of him, he looks terrible. And you were like, yeah, the clips they show, he looks slow. I'm like, yeah.
It was so funny over the summer when the front office was just telling everybody that would listen, like, this guy looks amazing. And then every clip they would put out is, him, like, stumbling to the rim and barely jumping high enough to touch the net.
Right, this guy's untouchable. And he's like, I don't sure that means what you think it means.
Right. Thanks so much, man. I appreciate you, especially in a pinch, hopping on and just always delivering gold.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Everybody else, you guys catch him out on the very entertaining, very lovely Fast Break Breakfast podcast. As humorous, maybe even more humorous on that show than you were on this one just now.
Oh, well, Is that now, criticizing?
No, that's just a challenge. Now you have to be really funny when everybody tunes in.
Yeah, also, if you're a Grizzlies fan, I have a Grizzlies podcast, Grits and Grinds. Now we've specialized. Just letting people know. If you need more Grizzlies talk, all Dylan Brooks all the time, Grits and Grinds.
Is there any more food? I guess Nuggets lends itself to like the Chicken Nuggets podcast easily. But
oh, that
did
actually.
Did you create a whole network?
I'm announcing that actually we are having a Denver Nuggets podcast starting soon. Just Nuggets. That works.
Just Nuggets.
The breakfast nugget? I don't know.
Breakfast Nuggets, yeah.
Sausage McNuggets, something. I don't know. I got it.
You tried. Thanks so much for tuning in, everybody. We'll be back again tomorrow, brand new episode.